Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are a couple of reasons why today is perhaps a little more noteworthy than most Sundays. It was the first Sunday in November of 2013 that I began here as your vacancy pastor. If you do the math, that comes out to be 4 years. Time passes quickly when we're having fun. But more importantly, today is also All Saints' Day. It's a day when we think of the lives of those people who have passed away before us. We think of the Christians who have passed away not just recently, but those who have passed away in the millennia before us. It causes us to think of what we refer to as the communion of saints. That's all the saints, all the Christians who have died before us and have gone to their eternal rest. It's also a day where we are reminded that we are both saints and sinners. We Lutherans tend to be more focused on that sinner portion. We confess every Sunday morning that we have sinned in thought and word and deed and by what we've done and we've left undone, and we confess that we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We Lutherans have been taught humility, to put other people first. We tend to think less of ourselves and more of others. And perhaps in that process, we have developed kind of a low personal image, a low self-image. We feel like we are perhaps less desirable, perhaps even unloved. The company that manufactures Dove soap did some research about that a while back. In fact, there was a commercial that you may have seen on TV. Here's what they did. They got an FBI forensic artist to draw some sketches of women. He drew two sketches of each woman. The first sketch he drew based on her description of herself. The second sketch was drawn based on the description of this woman by other people. The artist never saw any of the women. He only saw or only heard voices. There's a video on YouTube if you'd like to go watch it. It's been watched more than 22,000 times. I'm sorry, 22 million times. In the end, there was a stark difference between the two images of the same women. The women saw themselves one way, other people saw them in a different way. And across the board, the self-described portraits were less attractive than the portraits or the sketches that were made from other people's description of these women. The Dove marketing team concluded that we are all more beautiful than we think. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. They were trying to sell soap, and so they would talk in terms of beauty. But I think it points out that we need to look at ourselves and decide, are we lovable? We tend not to look at ourselves through real eyes because I suppose our self-image develops over our childhood and our adulthood. It develops by cultural ideals. It develops by life experiences. It develops by the accumulated comments and responses of other people. I grew up hearing words, and you probably heard these same words. Beauty and looks are only skin deep. And I remember thinking, yeah, right. We judge ourselves rather harshly, I think. We amplify our flaws and we diminish our good points. And so let me ask you this question. If we see ourselves, we Lutherans now in particular, see ourselves as worms, as sometimes people describe our confessions, if we see ourselves that way and as sinners, how do you think God sees you? If God is up there in heaven looking down on us, How does he see us? The texts for today have some answers, I think, to how God sees us. Let's see what we might be able to glean from what those texts have to say about the subject of what really is our own self-image. What does God's words say about how God himself looks at us? As I read the epistle lesson first, I want you to be looking for the answers to that question. How does God see us? This is what we read in the epistle from 1 John. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. John reminds us that because of our baptism, God loves us. As a result of that, God calls us his children. John doesn't say that God will love us someday in the future. He doesn't say he will love us if we become a better Christian. It says that God loves us and we are God's children, not at some point in the future, but right now, today, as we sit here. And not only that, he says there's more and better things coming. John says, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. A reference to the resurrection day. On that day, these earthly bodies that we tend not to like or be happy with or satisfied with will be replaced by heavenly bodies. We will be without sin on that day, and our physical bodies will be perfect. Our heavenly bodies will be free of all of the aches and the pains and the limitations that we experience today. And then if we go to Revelation and look at that reading there, we read this. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Sounds pretty good. In heaven there will be no worry, because we'll be sheltered in God's presence. The physical and the emotional maladies that we suffer from today, we will no longer suffer from. In heaven, Jesus himself will be the one who dries our tears from this earthly life. And then if we look at the gospel, Jesus is listing various human conditions which most of us can identify with at some point in our lives. He says those who experience earthly conditions will be blessed. They will be happy and joyful. That's what that word blessed means. Those who recognize that they are in need of God's help will be happy, Jesus is saying. Those who mourn, not only the loss of a loved one that we talk about today, but also they will also be mourning emotional or spiritual or financial losses. Those people too will be joyful. And the meek, those who don't assert themselves and try to lord themselves over others to get their way, will be blessed. They will be happy. And those who recognize that God invites them to be right with him will also be happy, because God is the ultimate source of righteousness that we achieve. The merciful who show kindness and forgiveness will be set apart. And Jesus goes on to say, the pure in heart who pursue purity and righteousness, uprightness shall see God, and they will be sacred. Those who promote peace will be holy because they are called the sons of God. And God will be pleased with those who are persecuted for their faith, and they will be sanctified. Jesus is talking to us today. He says, these people who sound a lot like us will be blessed. They will be happy. They will be set apart. They will be exalted and commended by God because God loves them. And that includes us. In our text for today, Jesus acknowledges our poverty of spirit, our suffering, and all the other problems that we have in this broken world. Yes, indeed, we are sinners. That's the evaluation of our pre-baptism time. But in that baptism, we were made children of God, and God loves his children. And so that means we are not only sinners, but we are also saints. And because of that baptism, our life can be filled with hope. There is no enemy bigger than our Savior's love. There is no problem which you cannot face with the help of your beloved Jesus. And so today we can really lay claim to the blessedness that Jesus speaks of. It is rightfully ours because he has given it to us because he loves us. Yes, we are both sinners and saints, but God loves us, and today we are blessed. That English word that's translated blessed comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word that means blood. Today we are God's children. Today we are loved, and today we are forgiven because of Christ's body and blood that we will take in the meal that we will partake of in just a few minutes. We are loved by God. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.